Well, an unforgettable century to Steve Smith has saved Australia after a shaky start on the opening day of the men's Ashes against England. It was his first test inning since his year-long ban for his part in the ball tampering scandal that rocked cricket in March last year. Smith's 144 helped steer Australia to a total of 284 all out. At stumps on day one, England was none for 10. Adam Collins is a freelance cricket writer and co-host of the Final Word Cricket podcast, and I spoke to him earlier from Birmingham.
Good morning. What a day.
What a day. Well, for all the upheaval, Steve Smith played as if he hadn't been a day away from Test cricket.
To an extent, that's a fair assessment. It was quite a remarkable innings for a host of reasons, not least the fact that, as you say, he's coming back from that year-long ban and all the storylines around that and all the inevitable abuse he cops from the Birmingham crowd. But to play the way he did when Australia slumped to 8 for 122, they were gone. They were absolutely shot. The collapse was 5 for 23 through the middle of the day. They had their middle order routed. They lost their top order at the start of the day. But batting with Peter Siddle, then Nathan Lyon, it was just supreme control from Smith. He prides himself on his concentration. He used every ounce of it. And that was reflected in the way that he celebrated his 100. He just shut his eyes and crouched over, waved to the crowd eventually. But you could see that took so much out of him. And I've got to say, I've been fortunate to cover just about every one of Smith's hundreds in the flesh over the last 6 years. And if that's not the best one, I don't know how there'll be a better one. It was an astonishing hand.
What a fantastic thing to see. You were at Edgbaston, a place where I think England has lost only 8 of the 51 test matches played there since 1902. And Richie Beno described the crowd as noisily berserk in Edgbaston, not like Lords. What reception did the Barmy Army give Smith and the other players who'd been banned for the ball tampering scandal?
Yeah, look, it was predictably feral. It was always going to be from, you know, different pockets of the crowd. You mentioned the Barmy Army, but the crowd in the Eric Holly stand, they're famous, as you say, for the noise they make and the hostile environment they create. So the fact that this first test match back for Smith, Warner and Bancroft happened to be at the place they call the Bear Pit was just a happy coincidence for the local fans. And they gave it to him all day. They gave it to him when he made it to 100 and the whole way through. But Smith seemed to block it out in the best way that we know. There was a lot of discussion around his obsessive training techniques in the lead up to the World Cup and this first test match in the Ashes series as well. And he just loves batting. I was having a chat to his coach in the corridors during the afternoon and asked him what sets him apart. And the major difference is that Smith's happiest place is being in the middle. That's it for him. And not to say there's nothing else for him, but as far as the thing that he enjoys doing more than anything else in the world, it's batting. There's something special about this guy's powers of concentration. And the way he was able to do that with Peter Siddle, a word for the Victorian, he never would have expected to be back playing Test cricket.
No.
At age 34, crippled with so many injuries across the journey, back in the pecking order, into the 11 today. I think when he got picked for the squad, they'd think he'd be a depth player, but it was a bold decision playing him in conditions which should suit when he gets an opportunity with the ball tomorrow. But Siddle would be mindful this is his last opportunity at Test cricket, and he's going to squeeze the sponge, get every last ounce of himself onto the Test arena. And that's what he did with the bat today. He made exactly half of the 88 runs they put on for the ninth wicket. Siddle made 44 of them, and Smith made 44 of them, which reflected the fact that Smith was willing to show faith in the bowlers as well. It was a complete innings.
Yes, does sound like it. Now, in terms of sort of a general preview of these Ashes, Adam, I mean, in any tour of England, weather is key, not just because it can cancel a game, but because it determines how much the ball swings, this vital thing, and how difficult life is for the batsman. How were the conditions, and are they expected to change much over the next 5 days?
It wasn't what you describe as a green top, which makes the ball move laterally more than it would if the pitch is completely flat and hard. I think it was quite hard. It looks like it was hard from our vantage point. So whilst England did get the ball to move around early, this is a slightly inside the beltway type point, but they're using the batch of balls that they produced last year, because last year's batch of balls swung more than this year's batch of balls, and that was on the direction of the England camp. So they know their comparative advantage is to get the ball swinging around, as you say, and they did to an extent earlier today. Stuart Broad, a veteran of many of these series against Australia, he's been the match winner in 3 consecutive Ashes series in this country, for that matter, in 2009, 2013 and 2015. He took 5 wickets today. Chris Wokes was excellent too, but they couldn't get out the one man who mattered most, and that was Stephen Smith. Had they got Smith out early, Australia could have easily been toppled for 120, 130, but He was the complete difference.
Our opening bats really did not look at all stable. Is that likely to change, or is that a particular Edge Baston feature?
Oh, you could say it's a feature of cricket in England over the last 10 years or so. It's a nightmare to open the batting in this country due to the conditions that we've talked about already. So, you know, the standards that we might judge a batsman by in Australia are different here at the moment. We've seen it for touring teams for England for a long period of time. So, yes, they didn't perform today. Warner and Bancroft were both out early. Likewise, Usman Khawaja. They got a couple of good deliveries in there too. But I think that'll be a feature of the series where both sides are or one or two down for not many, purely due to the fact that high-quality fast bowling sometimes just gets wickets. That's the way it is. So it'll be fascinating to watch that play out through the series, which opening batsmen can be more resilient against fantastic fast bowling.
Right, and we just got to hope that the fast bowlers get tired sort of thing.
Well, that's part of what happened today as well. I neglected to mention that Jimmy Anderson, who's the most one of the most prolific fast bowlers of all time, he's only got 600 test wickets. He got injured today after four overs. He was sent for scans on his calf. We don't know whether he'll be able to take any further part in this game, but he did strain his calf 4 weeks ago, which kept him out of competitive cricket in the lead-up to this Ashes series. So without Jimmy Anderson, their attack leader, that is a huge advantage to Australia. There's certainly parallels between Anderson going down at Birmingham today and Glenn McGrath going down at Birmingham.
Yes, in 2005.
Precisely.
Slipping on the ball, which was the other huge series, of course. And now since the last Ashes series, Australia's gone through a major upheaval after the sandpaper ball tampering scandal. England all-rounder and vice-captain Ben Stokes said before the game, it was, quote, weird that the Australians were trying to be nice. How much would you say, Adam, the test team's culture has changed, and will it be tested on this tour?
Oh, look, I think it has, but a lot of the time with pre-Ashes conversation, you've got to take it for what it is, phony war nonsense. Like, both sides get involved in it. Both teams try and play these mind games. It seems to feature more with England and Australia than it does any other series due to the long and rich history between the teams. But it is fair to say that under the captaincy of Tim Payne, they've been able to take a step back from what they said themselves was a culture that they weren't particularly proud of towards the end of the Smith era. Payne's spoken eloquently about the fact that when he returned to the Australian rooms in November 2017, the last time that Australia played England, of course, that was the start of the summer, which ended with the ball tampering fiasco. Mm-hmm. But he didn't feel particularly comfortable about the way the team had changed in the time he'd been away from it. So with that in mind, he's tried to create a culture under his leadership, which is, while still playing hard cricket, they still pride themselves on playing hard cricket, but they don't take it to a level which they can't be proud of.
And look, we can't let you go without hearing a prediction. what I think should be a fabulous series. Who's your pick to take home the urn this year?
After 10 years in politics, I'm reticent to make predictions on anything these days, but I think that the most likely scenario is that it's a split series. So that is to say, they win a couple of test matches each purely on the basis of having such fantastic fast bowling, purely on the back of the fact that Stephen Smith has started the series the way he has today. He's got himself right in there. I think Australia hold an advantage, but it's a very bare one.
A very bare one. And look, by the way, there were numbers on the back of the players' white test shirts. What?
Yes. This is a function of the World Test Championship. You're going to hear a lot about the World Test Championship over the next couple of years. It's a new system to, over the period of 2 years, the nine top-ranked sides, according to the ICC, play each other in a series of bilateral contests, which will have a points table, and that points table will produce a top two, and they'll play a final at Lord's in 2 years from now, who'll dictate who is the number one test side in the world. And as part of the World Test Championship, they've decided the ICC, this is the right time for those games to have numbers on the back of the shirt. Traditionalists don't like it. I think, though, that most people accept that if it plays a very, very small part in helping make the game more accessible to those who haven't been involved with it before, well, it's probably a price that we're willing to pay, a very small one at that.
Yes, jury's out, I'd say. All right, Adam. Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Adam Collins is a freelance cricket writer and co-host of the Final Word Cricket podcast.